Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Amen, and we're sitting by what, Sister Amen?
A lake and a bunch of pretty flowers.
Yeah, beautiful lake, and we got a bunch of flowers right by us, and bees and monarch butterflies,
yeah,
and
it's
awesome.
And a beautiful sunset.
Yep, beautiful sunset, and we hope you're doing well. We just arrived at this spot, and we're thankful for it tonight. We wanted to come to you with our edification audio before we go online with some brothers for a gathering call. And we'll be putting that up in our Ecclesia gathering area.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do today, Sister Amen? We traveled a bit.
Washed clothes, did a bunch of Titus II things. Most important, got some witnessing.
Yep.
Praise God.
Yep.
I talked to sisters, all kinds of things. And
yeah. On the way, we went through town and we stopped at, I would call a junk store, but people would probably call it an antique store. It was a very nice antique store. Shouldn't call this a junk store. This was a nice store. I've never seen a store with so many things that was so neat and perfect. This man who runs it, I got to meet him, did an excellent job. I'm not into antique stores and all kinds of fancy things, but wow, he really had it laid out nice. So I wouldn't call it a junk store.
Very
I would call
organized.
It antique store, top floor, lower floor. It was interesting. I got to talk to this man, and he shared with me how well he does in the store, and I was really amazed how much stuff he sells there. And then I got to witness to him.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it's interesting because he was an older man, kind of a tough-looking guy, beard, mustache, kind of like a trucker, biker kind of looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
And not the kind of guy you'd expect running an antique store.
Right.
And he looked more like a biker or a mechanic. Really nice man.
Mm-hmm.
He listened to the gospel, and he listened to what I had to say. He talked about he knew some people that were kind of house church people, and one man that died during COVID, so that was kind of interesting. He shared that. But anyway, that was awesome. I didn't know if a man like him would be open to it, but what does that teach us, Sister Amen?
Well, like the saying is, you don't judge a book by their cover. You just go and do the Lord's work and allow the Word to do what it does. And oftentimes we're kind of surprised.
Yep.
I mean, a little
sometimes
bit.
They shut it down and say, no, thank you. And
yeah.
You go, okay, it's not for you then. Then we got to right where we are here. We're kind of staying in kind of a truck stop, but it's got a really nice lake and stuff there. And there was a trucker with his hood open, and I went over to see if I could help him, but he didn't have a big problem. I couldn't do nothing for him. He was just checking something out, and he got the gospel.
Yeah.
And then there was a young man fishing. I thought he was a teenager, like 15.
Yeah, I know.
I went up and talked to him, and he's a trucker, too.
Yeah.
He must be 20, 21 or something.
Yeah.
He's from Florida. I forgot to tell you. He mentioned a town. We've stayed at the town.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the name of it now. But
yeah.
So I told him we preach all over Florida. He got the gospel.
Yeah.
So that was pretty awesome.
And I gave out gospel cards along the way.
Yeah.
And at one point.
Tell us about when you went into the store to get me bread, the gas station.
Oh, that one, too. I was going to talk about when you dropped me off at Walmart, and then you had to get some gas just down the road a little ways. And I got out before Brother Tupos got back, so I was standing by the front door, and I put myself right where people were walking in. And I was greeting everybody as they were going in, see if a door would open, and a man came over, and he's like, how you doing today? After I said that, I asked him how he's doing. He said, good, how are you doing? And I gave a gospel card and had, it was real brief witnessing, but gave a gospel card. Then another woman walked out as I saw Brother Tupos coming across the parking lot, and I walked up to her, and I said, I was just waiting for my husband, because she kept looking at me. And I gave her a gospel card, and she thanked me. And
maybe Walmart will hire you for a greeter, but I don't think they'll let you hand out gospel cards.
Oh, I would love that job.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Hey, I would do that for free if they let me hand out gospel
just
cards.
Just stand there and hand out gospel cards. Yeah, they usually.
Well, I don't know. I might be hanging around the doors a little more.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So that was awesome. So, yeah, as we travel, like we always say, we encourage people, you don't have to be a traveling street preacher, you don't have to be going to big events, you don't have to be going out to church, standing outside churches like we do. You can go through your everyday life and just give the gospel out to people you run into.
Yeah, and so when Brother Tupos picked me up, I said, I forgot to get bread, so I said, maybe you could just take me over to that gas station where he just was. He said it was really busy in there, and he said, if you want to run in and get the bread, and I said, oh, no, I'd rather go in there. Maybe somebody needs the gospel, because he was just there. So I went in there, and I got a loaf of bread. And the lady who was checking me out was very interesting looking, like today, with all the different colors and piercings.
Tattoos and piercings.
Oh, yeah, very unique looking. And I asked her how her day's going, and she said it was just going, and it was so busy in there. I didn't stay long. I gave her a gospel card. She was like, her mouth dropped open. She was like really surprised. She said, thank you so much. And she stood there reading it while the line was backed up.
That's cool.
And so I was like, that was supposed to happen. Because she gave more of a response than most people normally do. It was pretty profound.
Yeah, so. It might have picked up her day a little bit.
Who knows?
She might be seeking More truth, and your timing was perfect right there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was awesome.
It is awesome. Uh-huh. As we were driving today, Sister Emma and I started talking about a topic, and I thought it was interesting. We were talking about how all of us have to be careful to call us ourselves one thing. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. Like somebody in the church systems, men walk around saying, I'm pastor. Well, I'll read you a scripture verse. God does give men that are pastors, which is basically a shepherd, an overseer, or could be a teacher, but it's someone, the shepherd, that looks after people. But we don't take on these positional titles. Like if a man's an elder and an overseer, he doesn't walk around saying, I'm elder so-and-so.
Yeah.
He does the job, he does the role, he does the position, but guess what he really is? He really is. What are we really, Sister Amon, at our core level, what are we?
Servants of the Lord.
Yeah, we're disciples of Christ, and then we're servants of the Lord, and we're always that no matter what. I want to read a verse, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. So God does give some of these functions. I don't like to call them positions. He does give some functions, but guess what? All of us are servants and disciples first, and guess what? Those functions, yep, they're real on earth. We need those. Prophets, not so much today as in giving new revelation. Apostles, not so much as the apostles that Jesus had, but messengers could be apostle. We do a prophet's job. We preach the gospel, call people to repent. So it's a little bit different type of function today, but we're still doing the work of the Lord. And guess what? We do all those things here on earth, but when we pass into the next life, there ain't going to be no teachers, no evangelists, no pastors. All knowledge is going to be, everyone there is going to be of God. Guess what we're all going to be again? Servants,
yep,
and disciples of Christ. So just wanted to throw that out there. Like, as an evangelist, you got to be careful telling people, I'm an evangelist. Well, you may be that, but you're also a disciple of Christ. You're also a servant. You're also a brother to other people. You may be someone who, in some small way, if you're a little bit older brother looking at a younger brother, you're kind of a pastor. So there's all different things that kind of, yeah, counter in. Well, let me give you an example. With Sister Amon, if she says, well, I'm an evangelist and I work with my husband. Well, she does do that, but she also teaches younger women. So she's a teacher too. And she's also a servant, and she's also a wife, and she's also Titus too.
We get to be many different, yeah, things.
Yeah, so I thought that was good. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amon? Because you kind of brought that one up to me today.
Yeah, I don't know why I was pondering it. I guess I was just thinking, you know, when somebody says, I'm a such and such, they're just kind of like, I don't know. To me, it was like almost just giving yourself a title, and it made me think about the churches where they say pastor so-and-so or elder this or deacon that, yeah, and it's like kind of lifts people up. Not that it would be sinful, but we wouldn't want to lift ourselves up. In fact, I would rather be called a servant.
Yeah.
Because we do so many, because like you could say, I'm an evangelist, street preacher, pastor, teacher, elder. I mean, which one are you going to pick?
Yeah.
And then you're just picking it. I don't, yeah, know.
I guess it does matter. Like people say to me, what do you do? And I go, well, I'm a preacher, an evangelist. I travel around. And then if they were to ask me, I'd say, well, we have a house body and I do teach on my website. So you kind of, you tell people what you do, but I guess there is a fine line between, yeah, somebody will ask me, are you married? Say, yeah, I am a husband. I don't walk around saying, I'm husband to post.
Right.
I just do the role. I, yeah, do the function. And if somebody asks me, and I think that is pertinent because we see that what happens is people take these functions that God gave us that should operate within being a disciple and a servant and everything else, and they lift it up and they make it their main function, and that shouldn't be. That's
right.
Kind of what we were going,
yeah,
after.
Yeah.
Because look at Paul. We talked about Paul. Apostle Paul. Apostle, disciple, servant, teacher, overseer, evangelist, pastor,
tent maker,
was, you know, brother, all of these things.
Yeah.
But he never just said he was one thing. He functioned in all of them. So I just,
right,
thought that,
yeah,
was kind of a good topic to bring up. That was a good one, Sister Amon. How about you? What's on your heart and mind today? I got a couple more, but I'm sure you have some things to talk about.
Well, one, I'm rejoicing that I'm looking forward to tomorrow not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's kind of special for us.
I think we get to just park in one spot.
And we're in a free spot. We don't have to pay for it. Usually we only get a campground. We get to, you know, spend $15-$20, and we hardly ever do that. And you get to stay, and you're welcome there. But here at a truck stop, nobody seems to care if we stay a couple days. We're parked way off to the side. We're customers. We get gas. We go in and buy stuff. So
Yeah, because sometimes we go so much, we don't even know where we are. And sometimes, and it's all good, but sometimes you just need that stop and reset, because it almost feels like a merry-go-round.
And we're way behind on catching up on ministry. I got emails I haven't answered and all that kind of stuff, so we want to get all,
we
want to get it done.
We do the best that we can each day. So I don't know, I was just rejoicing, because to me that is kind of like almost settling in your mind when you wake up and you go, I don't even have to go anywhere today other than be able to work and focus on the Lord and catch up on some things. That's like a
And we can have coffee and watch the bees in the lake right there.
Yeah, and you know what?
Even that beast's waking up in a Walmart parking lot any day.
I was going to say, even if we were in the middle of a Walmart parking lot and didn't have to move anywhere, right, and we were stuck in the van the whole time, I'd still rejoice.
Yeah, these things are a gift when we get spots like this, and every once in a while we find them, so we're thankful for that.
Yeah, another thing I was thinking about is being frugal, but also being a good witness. And I learned that as we've traveled, you know, there were times like in the beginning, and sometimes I catch myself worrying about a few pennies here and a few pennies there, and getting to the point where you wouldn't want to look like you're squabbling over pennies or a couple dollars.
Like
here
you're a cheapskate.
Yeah.
Frugal and not a cheapskate. And I have an example of that if you want to talk about that.
Right. Well, I was just thinking, go ahead. You can.
Well, I was just going to say, we just took a walk around the lake here, and we went into the store that runs this truck stop. And I was showing Sister Amon some things they had there, and we found something, and we said, you know what, that's not too bad of a deal. It's a little bit higher price than you normally would get in the store, but we haven't had that for quite a while. Let's be a customer more for them. And so we bought something there, and we normally might not have, but we did it because they're letting us stay here. So it was still a frugal thing. It's going to last us a long time, but we didn't want to be cheapskates and go, oh, it's a dollar more than we wanted. Right. They're giving us a free parking spot.
And that's exactly what made me think about it, because there have been times we've been places and we paid a little bit more for some
things. Like cheese. You buy cheese and it's maybe a buck or two more a package than you would buy at Walmart, or maybe $3 more, and you go, oh, and that hurts when you're frugal as we are.
Right. But when I know. We think about $3, and I'm like, well, what can I buy for $3?
But ready? There's a campground right there that we can see, and it's $35 a night.
At least.
And so that we're up $70 by not parking in that campground, so we could afford to spend $2 or $3 and give them some business and thank them as customers. You know, $2 or $3 more for like a piece of cheese or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, so it's something we don't, or like, I was thinking about this, you know, some people like to go to, what do you call them, yard sales?
Yep.
And they'll say, you know, it's a $5 item. They'll say, will you take like $4 for that? And they'll say, yeah, and they hand them a $5 bill and make the person give them back the dollar they had. And not that that's wrong, but it's kind of like, you know, a fair balance. You want to try to keep it that way. And as a godly, holy sister, you know, you want to be frugal, but you also want to be careful that, like, you don't look like you're cheap and you're not.
Especially when you're giving them a gospel card right after that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, there is a fine line between being frugal and being a cheapskate.
Yeah.
Kind of like not paying your way, not bringing something to eat when somebody invites you to their house, not doing what you should. There is a fine line.
Yeah, it kind of spreads into many other areas. Yeah. So, it does. Just a simple thought on that.
That's a good point. I was thinking about this today. I don't know why this came up. I think one of the brothers mentioned something, and so it reminded me. So there's good evidence all over the place for the Bible, man's history, and creation. I want to give you one example. This is just out of nowhere. Language. Man has supposedly been around for a million years per evolution in his earliest form. And then advanced man, the way we are today, they will tell you, scientists will tell you, oh, man's been around for like 250,000 years in his current form. And so you think, 250,000 years in our current form, fully evolved. There's no evolution going on that we can see. Fully evolved for 250,000 years. And you know where that all falls apart? Is when you find out and you seek and say, hey, what's the oldest language in the world? And even all the secular scientists all agree, because they don't have any evidence beyond this, the oldest language in the world is something, an Indian language called Sanskrit. It's 6,000 years old. So think about that. Man's been walking around in our form, supposedly, for a 250,000 years, and all they did was grunt to each other and never had an established language anywhere. And 6,000 years ago, we see languages pop up all over the place. And you know what? I have a Bible account for that. You know why languages popped up all over the place 6,000 years ago? Genesis 11, 8 and 9. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And therefore it is called a Babel, Tower of Babel. Remember that, Sister Raman? Mm-hmm. Because the Lord did confound their language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them all abroad the face of the earth. So what you see is languages popping up all over the earth instantly. I believe it was the Tower of Babel when God scattered man, and it was about that time frame, a few thousand years ago. It was not 250,000 years ago, and man wasn't speaking any languages until 6,000 years ago. So I just want to throw that in there. If you look for the evidence of the Bible, there's a lot of evidence of man's history, his recent history. Evolution is destroyed when you look at the science. Don't be deceived by what you see and read. Test it to the scriptures and test it to good science. Another example would be they find dinosaur bones, and they say they're millions and millions and millions of years old. Yet when they break the rock apart and they get to the actual bone and they take it apart, there's still DNA and fibers and hairs and things that would be totally crystallized after a million years. And it's evidence that it's only been a few thousand years. So I just wanted to throw a few of those in there. If you've ever wanted to seek after those things, you can find them out there. And there's great evidence for God's creation versus evolution.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome because what man finds for, what is it, archaeological type stuff, the Bible proves it.
Yep.
What's there. It can go back and forth either right. way. Archaeology can yeah. prove the Bible, and the Bible, just like it was already there right. telling what you were going to find and yeah. see.
It's and it's called a theory of evolution because it's a theory. They've never proved it. They don't have enough evidence. You don't see evolution going on. You see adaptation, not evolution. So that's kind of another whole topic. But, yeah, language. Oldest language on earth, 6,000 years, makes you wonder, how old is man, really? Something to consider.
Yeah, I never really bought into that monkey chart they had. Yeah, yeah. And then there was, like, one missing.
Yeah, well, literally, by their own explanation of man was walking around in our current form
yeah.
for 250,000 years just grunting. And 6,000 years ago, we started talking and had a bunch of languages.
All of a sudden. Kind of like something out of nothing.
Makes no sense. It's a lie from Satan to deceive people. So.
It's confusion.
Yeah. Anything else, Sister Raman? What else are you thinking about today? I got a couple more things and a scripture when we're done.
Yeah, I was just going to share.
Yeah, go for it.
Talk that sisters and I had about ways of godly women.
You had a long talk today.
Oh, yeah. And we just kind of covered some topics. A lot of it about witnessing and marriage and raising children and
good stuff.
All kinds of things on there. Yeah, it can go all over, and we probably didn't even brush the surface.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Training up young sisters
mm-hmm.
to do the work of the ministry and to do their work at home.
Right, you know.
And to be disciples.
Yeah, when I look at Titus 2 and stuff, the way that you can train a godly woman and help a godly woman is when you're talking to her. You know, you can only put so much teaching on the internet because it's like black and white. The Bible already says it.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of expound on it. But when it comes to real life applications, you'd be there all day long with a novel written, trying to come up with all the different situations and scenarios and stuff. So the teaching and training, the in-depth of it, really comes from within the body.
Getting to know each other.
Yeah. And
Jesus had 12 men right with him.
Right. And the real life situations, you know, like, hey, this is what happened. Did I handle it right? Or what do I do next time? Or what if this happens? What can I do in that situation?
And you know what's great about that is you can tailor the teaching to the person.
Well, that's exactly what I was
saying.
Some
people take in
yeah.
a ton. Some people can't take in it. Some people have better understanding. Some people need it from this angle, that angle. You can tailor it. When you put it on the internet, it's like broad-based for everybody. But when you could tailor it to someone, it's like
right.
raising your children as individuals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a great point.
Yeah, so you can only teach so much on the internet, and
yep.
then it basically has to go to face-to-face, yep. one-on-one. And
yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, good. I'm glad you had that good talk, and that's
mm-hmm.
something that is edifying to the sisters, and I know it edifies you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about this topic? I had to send two emails, to some men that were seekers, that were seeking to perhaps enter our little fellowship, and it turns out they were not interested. They said they were, but they weren't really interested. So basically, they lied. I don't know how else you put it. They said, yeah, we want to follow Christ and we want to, you know, lose our life and we want to come out of the culture and we want to come out of the church system, which they've already come out of the church system, but they lied. They said, we'll get a hold of you. And we'd like to follow after Christ. And they never did.
Yeah, we hear that a lot, don't we? You're going to hear from me, and I'll call you, I'll email you, I'll contact
you. Yeah, and that was the case that happened here, so I had to send an email and just basically lovingly rebuke this person and say, you know what? You lied. You said you wanted Christ. You said you wanted to be with people. Mm-hmm. You went away. They went back to their sin is what they did, because we showed them some of their false ways, and they didn't like it, and they went back to their sin. So I just wanted to talk about how what kind of a judgment is going to be upon people who tell God and God's people that they want truth and they want holiness with them, and they never come back to back it up. They just go away. So basically to your face, they say, yeah, I want to be your brother and walk with you. And then when they leave, you never hear from them again. And they're alive. They're not dead. We know they're alive and out there. We see them posted on other things. Revelation 21:8, we quote it all the time. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So just let us, we talked about with the brothers the other day on the Ecclesia Forum about words, making sure that our tongue is saying the right things, that we're saying words that are true, that God spoke everything into existence. Christ is the Word made flesh, the Word of God we live by. Words are very important. It makes me really fearful for these people. We see it often. To your face, they say, oh, yes, we see what you're saying, and we love that. And then they go away, and it's like Satan steals away what they promised, and they never come back. So I hope these rebukes work to get them to see that they are liars, that they're in danger of God's wrath, and whether they come back to us or not, that they repent and start striving for the kingdom. That's the whole purpose of it.
Right.
Do we see that a lot, Sister Amon?
Unfortunately, we see that all the time.
Yeah. So.
And people are going to be accountable. I always think about how God's watching.
Yeah.
His eyes are everywhere. His ears can hear everything going on. And yep. Somebody's going to be paying the price for all these things that they do if they don't repent and
yep.
Let the Lord pay Amen. The price for them.
Amen. Do you have a scripture verse for us, Sister Amon?
Oh, I do.
Or any other points?
I have Isaiah 66:1-2. Thus saith the Lord. I love that.
Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty powerful.
Pay attention.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
Yeah. It
tells us how big and mighty he is, and we're nothing but on his footstool.
Yeah, amen, yeah. Amen. excuse me. Tomorrow, as we said, we get to stay in one place and get a bunch of work done, and then we're planning it out. We had to adjust and be flexible this weekend. We got thunderstorms coming in, so our preach, instead of it being Saturday, we're going to be there Friday, and it all worked out. Young Brother Kuhl is going to be able to join us, so we're excited about that. And then we got some good things coming up, and then we got events for the next 2 or 3 weeks as we travel south, going back into Missouri to meet up with another brother. So we're excited about all that, if the Lord wills.
Yeah, right.
And we're excited about everything that's coming up. And I know the Lord's going to make a way for us or guide us and direct us in a different direction.
We're going to be where he wants us
yeah,
to be.
We're open to always being guided in a different direction. I just wanted to share one last verse with you. Have you looked back at your life, talking to saints here, seekers, you need to repent and follow Christ and be born from above and avoid the wrath of God that's coming. Have you remembered what the Lord's done for you in your life? Think about that. A lot of people, Christians, go forward and they kind of can forget what God has done in them. I've been helping a brother and it's really helped him to look back and see what the Lord has done in him. Joshua 24:6-7. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. And he brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. So just a verse telling you to look back and see what God has done. In the Bible, you can see it. And maybe you didn't see any mighty miracles like that. God works a little bit different today than back then. But you can look and see what he's done in your life as far as a testimony. He's opened doors. Maybe he's closed doors. He's guided you. And you should give thanks for that and then trust him to guide you in the future. What do you think about that, Sister Amen?
Well, I heard the words mighty miracle.
Yeah.
And I'm a living proof of that mighty miracle. I am so thankful for that. That is a great and awesome. Well, I'm looking at one, too.
Right. The signs and wonders are there in the Old Testament, New Testament, and should be there to spark your faith and prove who Christ was, prove who the prophets were, prove what the Word of God has to say. That should spark our faith that what he said is true and what he said he will do. And now we have the sealed Word of God, finished Word of God, and we need to have faith and walk in that. So it's a glorious thing to think back and look back to see where God has brought you from. Jesus said looking back isn't good. That's lamenting like Lot's wife. I want to go back there. But to look back and learn, to look back and be thankful you've come out of much, that would be grateful. Ready? I can prove that. You know how? The 10 lepers that get healed. The 10 lepers, they get healed. All of them move forward and didn't look backwards. One guy came backwards and said, thank you to the Lord. And Jesus said, where's the other nine? Wasn't there 9 of 10 of you?
Yeah.
So he looked back and went back to thank the Lord. So we can look back in thankfulness, but we don't want to be looking back and lament. So consider that. Looking back at what the Lord has done in your life.
Yeah, amen.
I think that's about all we have for tonight. We got to jump on our brother's call. Anything else, Sister Amen?
No, just love and peace and joy unto all the saints who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Amen. I got one last thing for you. God told Abraham, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. El Shaddai means Almighty God.
Ooh, I like that.
So you seek him, saints. You live for him with all that you are. Turn from the darkness of this world and Satan's ways and the culture and churchianity and your flesh and follow Christ. He is the light, he is the life, and he is the resurrection. We love you all. Till next time. Let us know how we can help you. Check out our audio edification page. We're going to have a bunch of nice stuff posted at the top, and there'll be another Ecclesia Gathering post later on today, pouring out to help edify everybody that cares to be edified, and it's all for God's glory.
Amen.
Love you all.
May God be praised.